There's no verse. And as you most probably know, Friday, 2 days from now, is Sri Ram Navami. Hari Bol. So we've been requested by the powers that be to speak of Sri Ram today, tomorrow, and of course on Friday. So where do we begin? Well, we began today singing a song. A song that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sing. He would sing this song, especially as he was traveling in South India. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita relates, so this is where we're going to begin. This is from the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 9th chapter, verse 11. At the time, all the South Indian Vaishnavas were worshippers of Lord Ramachandra. Some were Tattvavadis, and some were followers of Ramanujacharya. So Tattvavadi refers to the followers of Madhvacharya. And, of course, Ramanujacharya, the Sri Vaishnavas. After meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all those different Vaishnavas became devotees of Krishna. They began chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. O Lord Ramachandra, descendant of Maharaj Raghu, kindly protect me. O Lord Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon, kindly protect me. While walking on the road, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant this Ram Raghava mantra. Chanting in this way, he arrived at the banks of the Gautami Ganga and took his bath there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Mallikarjuna Tirtha, saw the deity of Lord Shiva there, and he also induced all the people to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Well, no, I'll read this. There he saw Lord Mahadev Shiva, the servant of Lord Ram. He then went to Ahovala Nisringa. Upon seeing the Ahovala Nisringa deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered many prayers unto the Lord. He then went to Siddhavata, where he saw the deity of Ramachandra, the Lord of Sita Devi. Upon seeing the deity of Lord Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu, the Lord offered his prayers and obeisances. Then a Brahmin invited the Lord to take lunch. So this is one of the significant stories. That Brahmin constantly chanted the holy name of Ramachandra. Indeed, but for chanting Lord Ramachandra's holy name, that Brahmin did not speak a word. That day, Lord Chaitanya remained there and accepted prasadam at his house. After bestowing mercy upon him in this way, the Lord proceeded ahead. So then he visits and he comes back. After visiting the temple of Chirikram, the Lord returned to Siddhavata, where he again visited the house of the Brahmin, who was now constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. After finishing his lunch there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmin, "My dear friend, kindly tell me, what is your position now? Formerly, you were constantly chanting the holy name of Lord Ram. Why are you now constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna?" The Brahmin replied, "This is all due to your influence, sir. After seeing you, I have lost my lifelong practice. From my childhood, I've been chanting the holy name of Lord Ramachandra. But upon seeing you, I chanted the holy name of Lord Krishna just once. Since then, the holy name of Krishna has been tightly fixed upon my tongue. Indeed, since I've been chanting the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of Lord Ramachandra has gone far away. From my childhood, I have been collecting the glories of the holy name from revealed scriptures. The supreme absolute truth is called Rama because the transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. The word, this is, the Brahman is quoting scripture here. It's in quotes. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to the affix na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. As far as the holy names of Rama and Krishna are concerned, they are on an equal level. But for further advancement, we receive some specific information from the revealed scriptures. Lord Shiva addressed his wife Durga, "O Varanana, I chant the holy name of Ram, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. This holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu." The pious results derived from chanting the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu 3 times can be attained by only one utterance of the holy name of Krishna. According to this statement of the Shastras, the glories of the holy name of Krishna are unlimited. Still, I could not chant his holy name. Please hear the reason for this. My worshipable Lord has been Lord Ramachandra. Something skipped here. I'll have to look it up. Hold on. We have to go to the source here. I thought there's a page missing here, the last page. Bear with me. Oh, wait a minute. What's this? All right, here we go. I don't want to leave you hanging here, right? I mean, you do want to hear the rest of this, or no? Okay, I'm sorry. This is anyway. I happen to have this device, which has everything. All truth is contained within this little package here. So 9:34. The reason. My worshipable Lord has been Lord Ramachandra, and by chanting his holy name, I received happiness. Because I received such happiness, I chanted the holy name of Lord Ram day and night. By your appearance, Lord Krishna's holy name also appeared. And at that time, the glories of Krishna's name awoke in my heart. Sir, you are that Lord Krishna himself. This is my conclusion. Saying this, the Brahmin fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over South India. The number and the places are innumerable practically. From here to there, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes that he can't describe all the places. He can only briefly summarize all the different places that Mahaprabhu visited. And everywhere he found the devotees of Lord Ramachandra. One time he found one devotee, one Vipra, one Brahmin, who brought him to his house But he wouldn't eat. He was feeding Mahaprabhu, but he couldn't eat. And Mahaprabhu inquired, why you're not taking? He said, how can I eat? My Lord Ram is in the forest and Sita has not yet come to feed him. How can I eat until Sita arrives? We can see how this devotee was immersed in the full consciousness and awareness of Ram Lila, absorbed in the Dasya Ras. Then he began to cry. And Mahaprabhu inquired, why are you crying? And the Brahmin replied that this evil Ravan has taken Sita. How horrible. Then Mahaprabhu exclaimed, no, Sita can never be touched by the evil Ravan. The next part. Here it is. Okay, where is it? I did print it out. All right, well, I'll just have to remember it. And if I make some mistakes, someone here will correct me. So, Mahaprabhu explains like this, and the Brahmin is pacified. And then he leaves, and where does he go? He goes to, I think it is, was it Rameshwaram? That's what I'm trying to remember, Rameshwaram. And there's an assembly of Brahmins, and they're reciting the Kurma Purana. And in the Kurma Purana, they're speaking of how Sita was never in the company of Ravan. That Sita was taken by Agni, and the Chaya Sita, the Shat Sita, that was taken by Ravan. And during the Agni Parikha, that Chaya Sita went back into the fire and Agni delivered the real Sita. So Sita was never touched by Ravan. So Mahaprabhu copied this manuscript. He was very pleased, and then he came back to that Brahmin and he said, look at here, you have it, scriptural proof. And the Brahmin was very satisfied. So in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find Lord Ram interweaving. We find Lord Ram appearing in South India. We find Lord Ram appearing through Murari Gupta, his great devotee, who also was a devotee of Lord Gaurasundar. Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, we should read some Bhagavatam, right? This is Bhagavatam class. So, in the 9th canto, 10th chapter, I'll read this verse. This can be one of our Bhagavatam verses. Tretayam vartamanayam kala krita samo bhavat rame rajani dharma gye sarvabhuta sukhavahe. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. So here, Prabhupada in his purport states, among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. And the Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement, is meant for this purpose. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti hieko mahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajat. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. If people take to this Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, they will certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy, as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. Anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with devotion and faith, he will certainly be freed from all sinful activities and his life will be successful. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundar. Jai Shri Ram. Prabhupada speaks often about how today in India people clamor for Ram Raj, we want Ram Raj. But they don't have a clue. How do we achieve Ram Raj? Here is the answer. Harinam Sankirtan. This can bring Ram Raj. Without Harinam Sankirtan, even great morality will not suffice. Ram was acclaimed as Maryada Purushottam. Maryada Purushottam. Maryada generally is taken to mean virtuous, completely righteous, no hint of duplicity or any sort of defect in the integrity. One could say to a fault in the case of Sri Ram. As we know, Sri Ram was so devoted to the principles of Dharma that he even gave up Sita for the satisfaction of the population, to maintain his position of upholding Dharma. But this is on the surface. This was Sri Ram's method to teach. And this was Sri Ram's arrangement to take care of one disturbance, Ravan. Now Ravan is a very, very interesting character. In preparing for this talk today, I thought I should read something. And I was looking at the birth of Sri Ram. And in one of the books that I consulted, there was some aside to talk about the birth of Ravan. Now Ravan is, as I said, a very complex person. Very complex. His very birth was a complex situation. And I'll have to consult my notes. All right. His parents were Vishravas and Kaikasi. Now, Kaikasi, whose father was Sumali, something like that. Kaikasi was a Daitya. Kaikasi was born of the Daitya race, an Asura. And Vishravas was a Brahmin. And it was Sumali's idea that, well, if I get my daughter, who's a powerful progeny of the Daitya race, married to a Brahmin, then the progeny of that union will have the power of the Daityas and the power of the Brahmins mixed together and will be unconquerable, and the Daityas will rule. This is the what goes on out there. If you ever, you know, out there in the heavenly and lower world, outside of our existence, there's this whole stuff going on. Daityas and Asuras and Devas, and they've all got their thing going on, and the Daityas are always going after the Devas. It's constant anxiety. So don't think that you become a demigod, you're going to be free from, you're just going to enjoy all the time. You're always in anxiety because the Daityas are there, the Asuras are there. It's all anxiety. And they pick on it. You'll notice that in this Leela, especially, this particular Leela, with Krishna was a little different because now in Krishna's time, we're entering Dwapara Yuga, and now in Dwapara Yuga, we find that this demoniac mentality has come down into the earthly sphere, and so the Devas are appealing because the whole earth is being disturbed by demoniac kings. But in the time of Ram, Ravan was pretty good for the people. He was very, his kingdom was considered to be like paradise. Lanka was first of all, was built by Vishwakarma. It was built for Kuvera, Kuvera was the half-brother of Ravana. Vishravas had another wife and had a son who is Kuvera. But Ravan being who he was, Ravan was one of four children. There was Kumbhakarna, Suparnaka, and Vibhishana, who somehow got all the Brahman quality. He got everything of the good stuff. The rest of them were pure Rakshasas. So this group, they were extremely powerful, and they worshipped together. They worshipped Lord Brahma. They got these boons, although it didn't quite work out for Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna, when he asked for a boon, according to Brahma later says that he kind of tricked Kumbhakarna, that instead of saying anybody remember? Anyway, instead of coming out Nitya, it came out Nidra. Nidra is sleep. So instead of being always, you know, powerful, he was like always asleep. And being always, he was always just sleeping and eating. That was it. And then it was modified. Ravan asked him to at least, you know, cut this a little bit. And so it was half the time he would sleep and half the time he would eat. Because he hadn't eaten for 6 months. So he'd eat the rest of the 6 months. Anyway, that was Kumbhakarna. But anyway, these folks, they were extremely powerful, Ravan. But who did they pick? They didn't pick on the people of the earth. Not unlike Kamsa and so on. They picked on the demigods. That was their target. This was Ravan's undoing ultimately. Because he didn't even think, you know, to care about ordinary people. You know, they're just, let them be. So when he asked for his boon, he said, no Deva, no Gandharva, no this, that, none of that, I'll be unconquerable. Because that's who he wanted to conquer. And he was successful. He got the devas to sweep his floor. When he wanted some light, he called Surya, and Surya had to turn off. Okay, here you go. Vayu would have to. He had the grahas line his stairs. He would step on them. He just didn't like the devas. He abused them, and he became very powerful. So we see that when Ram is born, just before, the devas go to Brahma and they ask him, "You do something about this Ravan." But we'll see how during the Leela, Ram doesn't. Oh, hey, okay, now I got to go after this Ravan. He doesn't have it in his mind that I've got to get Ravan. Ravan's taking care of his business over in Lanka. But when Ravan kidnaps Sita, then it all unfolds. So this is how Ram's Leela unfolds, with the subtext, the subplot. Okay, yes, we've got to get rid of Ravan. But the real essence, why is it that throughout India we find people are in love with Sri Ram. They're in love with Sri Ram because of the way he lived his life, the way he loved and cared for Sita Devi, the way he sacrificed, the way he put the interest of others in front of himself, the way he completely gave himself to the people. He accepted so many hardships. It wasn't easy living in the forest. Okay, it became a bit easier by the grace of the forest denizens. But for a person who's accustomed to palatial living, to leave behind everything, to accept clothes made of the bark of trees. I became interested in this. I said, well, what are clothes made of the bark of trees like? There are some places where people do wear, still today, wearing clothes. They don't wear a lot of it because you can't make a lot of clothes out of tree bark. So you can understand that they didn't have much to wear, and what they did have to wear wasn't soft and silky. When Ram returned to Ayodhya, it's described that one of the first things that they did was the Brahmins took him and they had to shave his matted hair. Of course, we draw paintings of Sri Ram and we portray him very beautifully because we see him in that way. But if we think about it, Sri Ram, in his exile, he must have not been so kingly present. He accepted so much austerity, accepted so much pain. He went through all the pain and suffering that we humans have to go through. We all have pain and suffering in our lives. Sometimes it's the pain of some physical pain, but very often the greatest pain is when our loved ones are troubled. Who can imagine the pain of Sri Ram? They're in the forest, they have their simple life. It's not opulent. It's not filled with excitement. very simple. Forest flowers, simple food, the company of animals, and some sages. And one day, this life is completely lost. Ram goes out to capture this golden deer. For him, a trivial task, although there was some concern that maybe there might be some trick involved here. So he kept Lakshman there for Sita. We were questioning, well, what Lakshman, what happened to his wife? When Ram went to the forest, Sita went with him. Lakshman was also married to the sister of Sita, Urmila. And Urmila also wanted to go. But Lakshman said, "How? If you come, then I'll be bound to take care of you, and then I can't serve Ram completely. And who will take care of our mothers?" It's said that in some places that Urmila made a vow or asked for a boon or a blessing that Lakshman would not sleep, that she would take Lakshman's sleep. She would just sleep during the entire exile so that Lakshman could remain awake to protect Sri Ram. So Ram is very confident. Lakshman is there. What can go wrong? There's no problem. And he leaves and he goes. And as we all know, he returns to find Sita gone. What greater pain? In the pastimes of Krishna, things are a bit reversed. It is Krishna that leaves, and Radha remains behind, suffering the immense pain of separation. And in Ram's Leela, both Sita and Ram, they're separated by this evil force. And they go through the immense pain. So Sri Ram, his Leela continues to capture our hearts. We feel for him. We feel for Mother Sita. And we are overjoyed at their reunion. The Maryada Purush, the character of Sri Ram, has inspired the world towards virtue. Has inspired the world towards that essence of love. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he took the moods, Krishna and Rama. We find that he would exhibit Sadbuja. He would show that I am Krishna, I am Ram, and I am Gauranga. And he gave us the holy names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're always chanting both the names of Krishna and Rama. And in this holy name of Ram, we find simultaneously, we find Lord Rama Chandra is present, Sri Balaram is present, and Krishna is also present, depending on our bhava. So this is the gift of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He gives us the entrance to the inner mood of Sri Ramachandra, the mood of love in separation, which he himself, as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, comes to taste in full. So in the next few days, we'll hear more about the pastimes of Sri Ram. We can meditate on those pastimes and take shelter of Mahaprabhu's relationship, his presentation of Sri Ram and his songs about Sri Ram. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Protect us. O Ram, was his prayer. You protected the world. You destroyed the evil Ravan with just an army of monkeys. Now you please protect me so that I may constantly serve your lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So we have a little time for other comments or questions. Hare Krishna. Otherwise, so any? Yes, Gita Nagar. Sri Ram is in Washington, I believe. Yes, he is in London, the Manor. He's in the Manor. He is in Juhu. He was installed after Prabhupada. He's in Delhi. He's now just came to Kanpur. Those are the places I know of where Sri Ram is worshipped. Anybody else know any other places? Yes? Tawako? He's in Tawako, New Jersey. So yes, Sitaram, Lakshman and Hanuman. Yes? Peru. There is some story that there's a tunnel or something that goes... So I guess he went under the earth and went over there and popped up in Peru. Yes, I mean... As we know, there are many, many devotees of Sri Ram in the Indian community. But so Srila Prabhupada especially felt that Sri Ram would be very attractive to people to come and see Sri Ram. And at the same time, then they would also see Sri Krishna and they would see Gaur Nithai. We'll see that in all the places that Sri Ram is worshipped, with Radha Krishna, Gaur Nithai is also there. So then the people get to see that here is the Lord manifest in all this three ways. The Lord manifests as Sri Ram, manifests as Sri Krishna, and as Gaur Sundar, and they're all the same. They're the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Yes, Tukaram.
That kidnapping of Sita.
Excuse me?
If you can elaborate a little more when Rama went to catch that deer, what was happening in between?
This is a very he's asking about Sita's abduction. horrible thing. We know that Ravan, he was motivated to avenge the mutilation of his sister Suparnika. And Suparnika suggested to him, what greater vengeance can you have than to steal Sita? First of all, she was warning Ravan, this Ram is not ordinary. Look at what he did. He destroyed our entire Rakshasa army was destroyed by this one person with his brother. This is not an ordinary person. Ravan was very dismissive of men, mortal men. He thought, he didn't even bother to ask for a boon that he could not be killed by a man. That's, I mean, how could a man kill me? I'm Ravan! No man. I was born with 10 heads. I received the boon of Lord Shiva by cutting off one head after another. This is the power of Ravan. He had no concern for men. But he thought, this would be a good idea. Not only do I get my vengeance for the mute, but I get a beautiful woman. And of course, being very proud of his manliness, his wealth, his power, he thought it would be no problem. For him, women were just, you know, playthings. They just submit. So I'll get this beautiful woman, she'll submit, and then I'll increase. We have to remember that during this time, women, it was a great thing for Ram to take Ekapatni Vrata, unlike his father. Dasarath was far from being Ekapatni. Some stories say at least he had 353 wives. In addition to his principal wives, who Kaushalya, Kaikeya, and Sumitra, right? And this is another interesting thing. Parasaram was around at this time. Parasaram was around the same time that Ram was around. And we think, well, why didn't Parasaram take care of Ravan? Because Ravan he wasn't a Kshatriya. He was born of Brahmins and Daityas, so he wasn't a Kshatriya. So he didn't attract, and he wasn't bothering the people in general. He was just bothering the demigods, from what I can understand. Not like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was bothering everyone. And Kamsa, and they were, of course, bothering everyone. But Ravan was, you know, it's even stated that he was a devotee. First of all, he was a devotee of Lord Shiva, a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So in any case, Parasaram was around, and Parasaram was killing Kshatriyas right and left. That was what he was doing. He was just killing Kshatriyas. But he had a rule that he wouldn't kill a Kshatriya if they were in the company of women, enjoying, or if they were getting married. If they were in the midst of getting married, or I think it was when they had there's a yellow, some sort of, what's it called? Something. Anyway, there's some string or cloth that you tie around your wrist when you get married. So if they're wearing that, then they would be spared. So Dasara's plan was, he just, you know, as Parasaram was roving around, whenever Parasaram was in the area, okay, let me find a, okay, let's get married. All right. So he did this 350 times. So he was not exactly Ekapatnivrata. So we can see that for Ram to say, I will have only one wife, was a little extraordinary in this context. So Ravan is thinking, well, you know, I'll just kidnap Sita and then I'll enjoy her. But he knew, and Suparnika suggested this trick with Marichi that would lure Ram away and then he would capture. So all of this is very interesting, because why did Ravan have to resort to such tricks? He considers himself so powerful. Why don't you just go and grab Sita? No. All of these things are being constructed in order to enhance the Leela. And as we know, Ravan does appear on the scene after Sita. Sita, again, Lakshman is there. But by the trick of, by the play of emotion, Sita's anxiety, hearing the voice of Ram calling out for help, Sita's anxiety becomes so intense. She's just thinking. She's every fear is arising in her heart, every thought that something's happened to Sri Ram, that her intelligence, her understanding becomes bewildered and clouded, and even though Lakshman argues with her, this is just a trick, don't. She can't hear it. She's just overwhelmed with anxiety for Ram, even to the point that she just lashes out at Lakshman and said, "You're not going because you want to enjoy me." She just becomes overwhelmed with emotion, and Lakshman, I mean, what do you do? We are all, I mean, many of us in this room are men. We have wives. We have had perhaps experiences of our wives becoming quite emotional, and you know, they just, you can't really reason, or you know, you can't just fix it. You can't just say, okay, well, you know, just change that and it'll all be okay. No. I mean, pardon, but perhaps you've experienced it sometimes, that you just, the emotion gets so intense. So Ram said, okay, well, I'll just, you know, I'll take care with a protective ring, and I'll, what can I do? I have to. There was no other solution. And then Ravan approaches. Now, as we know, Ravan is the son of a Brahmin and a Daitya. So he could put on the show, the Brahminical show. He put on very, very convincing act. Extremely convincing. I mean, Sita had no clue. I mean, this was not uncommon. There might be some mendicant wandering in the forest, and she leaves that protective circle. And Ravan takes her. And then it all unfolds. Until Ram reaches Lanka. And when he comes face to face with Ravan, I didn't print it out, but I suggest you look it up. You look at the words, how Ram addresses Ravan as the most despicable, hideous creature that ever walked the earth. And now you are finished. You're done. It's over. It is over. Over. Finished. Done. Jai Shri Ram. And then they come back together. Sita and Ram. Reunited together again. And as they return to Ayodhya on an airplane of flowers, a flower airplane, shining even in the midst of matted locks. I mean, we can imagine. It's not that, they arrived just from the battle, from the field, from the forests. But with the effulgence of their supreme personalities. And overjoyed, the entire city comes back to life. Bharat has been eating what? Roots? He's wearing tree bark too. He's sleeping in a little hut on the floor. Complete austerity. And now he comes carrying the paduka of Lord Ram on his head to give back to Ram. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Ram. Okay? All right, we're at end of time. The story continues. We have a few more days. Hare Krishna. Huh? No, Janani Vasu is continuing tomorrow.